Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we trust you to fulfill your will in our lives as we walk with you each day. I pray in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Time. Time, you turn around and it just wonder, where is the time gone? I am now a father of a high school student. And beginning this week, her time of playing high school sports begins. Now, as a family, we're going to have to figure out how this new part of life fits into our daily schedule. I mean, there'll be soccer practices, soccer games. Home games are easy to attend. The away games are a little more challenging, with some of them quite far away. And yet, to be mom and dad for our daughter, we need to be at games. And then we have our ballet dancer, and her classes begin soon, and Nutcracker is just around the corner for her. And then my thoughts think through the years and how they have flown by. Believe it or not, this September, my high school will be having its 35th reunion. And then just a short, less than 4 years from now, my oldest will be graduated from high school. And I know some of you can't believe your daughter's about to graduate from college in the next short period of time. It's just flying by. Time is just flying by. Now, for me, by the time I was in ninth grade, I had already moved many times, attended many schools, and left many friends behind. I mean, this was before instant messaging, before email, before all of that connection. So friends were left behind. Now, after already several moves, I began school in Bowie, Maryland. It's outside of Annapolis, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. You draw a triangle, Bowie's about in the middle of them. Bowie, Maryland. I started kindergarten at Rockledge Elementary School. Then half of first grade at Whitehall Elementary, the rest of first grade at Buckingham Elementary, along with second and half of third. Keep track of this. Are you going to do the adding in a moment? The rest of third grade was in Norfolk, Virginia. I didn't like that time, and I don't remember the name of the school. Then back to Bowie, Maryland at Fox Hill Elementary for 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Then it was down the hill for 7th grade at Benjamin Tasker Junior High. Then another move down to Georgia Washington Junior High School, Montgomery, Alabama. And then after that, up to Dayton, Ohio to Oakwood for grades 9 through 12. So in those few short years, I was at, did you count? 8 different schools. But then there's that one stretch of 7 years of second grade through ninth grade that illustrates how much can change in just 7 years. From second grade to ninth grade, I moved 5 times and was in 6 different schools. Very different life growing up than my girls who've been at the same school all their life. Now, Jacob, 7 years. Keep that in mind. How much life can change in 7 years? We left off with Jacob last week with an encounter with the living God. And Jacob's response was that vow given in worship. Naming the place Bethel, Jacob vowed if the Lord would do all the Lord said he would do, the Lord would be the God of Jacob. And then to put action and demonstrate that this vow was for Jacob, Jacob promised to give a tithe, a tenth of all the Lord gave him. So here's these words from Genesis 28. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And so Jacob continues his journey. And similar to the servant of Abraham, as the servant of Abraham was guided, we find Jacob being guided too. Jacob comes to a well, greets the shepherds there, and asks where they're from. And their answer is Haran. And Jacob asks if they know Laban, Nahor's grandson. These shepherds know Laban. So he asks, is Laban well? Yes, he's well. And as they answer that yes, they look up and they point, and here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. And the scriptures tell us Rachel is a shepherdess. So Jacob moves into action and he waters Rachel's sheep, which is actually Laban's sheep that Rachel is caring for. And then he greets Rachel with a kiss and he weeps. This kiss here is not a passionate kiss of newfound lovers. Rather, it's a kiss of emotion welling up, and it's signified by the weeping. Emotion after traveling through the wilderness all alone, Jacob has arrived by the guiding of providence at his mother's family home. The Lord demonstrating he is the God of Jacob. He's working in Jacob's life. Rachel goes and tells her father Laban about Jacob, and Laban runs swiftly to greet Jacob and welcomes Jacob. Now, for a man to run in this manner to greet another is unusual. Laban wanted to greet the son of his sister Rebekah. Perhaps Laban remembers the servant of Abraham and told all about the great wealth when that servant of Abraham came to find a wife for Isaac. Or perhaps Laban recalls the large dowry Abraham's servant brought for his sister Rebekah, for Rebekah to go back and marry Isaac. A new chapter in Jacob's life now begins as Laban takes Jacob to live with him. The Lord is working here. The Lord is keeping his word to Jacob. He's watching over Jacob. Jacob has a place to stay now. Jacob will have food to eat. He will have things to take care of him. A month passes by, and during that month, it appears Jacob is working for his uncle Laban. Not sitting idling, but working for Laban. So Genesis 29, verse 15. Laban said to Jacob, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Two things are taking place here. First, name your wages. And the second, though you are relative, I'm going to hire you on as a hired hand. Hired hand, change of relationship. That name your wages part, how would you like to be in that situation? Name your wages. You know, I had that opportunity many years ago. A call committee chair was sitting there with the treasurer and said to me, "Name your wages." They didn't understand me. They didn't understand my heart. And more importantly, they did not understand the nature of a calling from the Lord. Name your wages, say, is money talks. And if money talks to bring you here, money will talk to guide you here. You get my drift. They thought money was the power of ministry. It's not. It's the Spirit of the living God present in the ministry. So they said, name your wages. And they were using it as an enticement. It's not the same as discerning, is this the will of God? Is this a call from the Lord? And that's what a call committee is supposed to do. Discern, is this a call from the Lord? For me, discerning the Lord's will is vastly more important than name your wages. I know the Lord will take care of me. So I stayed at a part-time call in a small church, serving the Lord, trusting and growing in that faith. Faith like missionaries, the way they trust the Lord. Genesis 29, verses 16 and 17 fill in a little more information for us. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Rachel would win the beauty contest. I've seen this in families. One sibling treated different than the other based solely on looks. The older overlooked and overshadowed by the beauty of the younger. Remember the lesson to Samuel when he sat in Jesse's tent to anoint a king. Samuel saw the first son of Jesse, Eliab, and was impressed by the appearance of Eliab. But the Lord spoke. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Jacob is now a hired hand. He came with just a shirt on his back, nothing to offer for the customary dowry. The dowry was paid by the groom's family to the bride's family. The bride's family was not gaining a son-in-law as a worker in the family field. Rather, the bride's family was losing an able-bodied worker in the household. Hence, the dowry was paid to the bride's family. Jacob said, "I'll work 7 years for Rachel." That is a very generous offer compared to the customary dowry. The dowry that Jacob had to pay. He had nothing. He came with nothing. "I'll work 7 years for Rachel." Jacob was in love with Rachel. But you notice, we're not told anything about Rachel's character. We're only told how she looks and what she does. She's a shepherdess. And we don't read about Jacob discerning the Lord's will. Isaac and Rebekah sent Jacob to Laban for safety from Esau and to take a wife from among the daughters of Laban. But we do not read of Jacob inquiring of the Lord which daughter. Now, how often have you heard from a teenager, "But I love him," or "I love her"? Well, Jacob was in love. But is that feeling true love, infatuation, or leftover pizza from two nights ago? It's a teenager. I'm talking about what I was like when I was then. Leftover pizza was probably a good choice. But the years fly by for Jacob. Even as the interaction between Jacob and Rachel is very limited, strictly guided and watched over according to the customs of the time. Jacob, "I can hardly wait to be married." 1 year goes by, 2 years go by. "I get to marry Rachel." 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Finally, the seventh year is completed. And Jacob goes to Laban, "I've completed the time," meaning "I've paid the dowry in full. Give me my wife, for I want to be with her." Now take a moment and let these words of God's scripture speak to us. Genesis chapter 29, verse 20. "So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her." When you love, when you truly love, what you are doing, the effort, the challenges, the struggles, the hardships, they simply melt into the background as the power of love comes to the foreground. If you read in the lives of missionaries and read their life accounts, they all point to love. It is love that gives them the ability to do what they do. The love first to their Lord, their God. And second, love for the lost who don't know the Lord. It was love that gave missionaries the ability to go to the jungles, go to these zones, not knowing if they'll ever come back. Love that sustained them even when there were no converts to Christ. They were simply doing the work of the Lord. One day a woman heard a missionary say, "Calabar is the worst spot on earth, a mysterious and awful land ruled by witchcraft and secret cannibal societies, human sacrifices, spells, poisons, and there's that awful custom of murdering twin babies, which are considered bad luck. A land of fever, skin diseases, malaria, on and on the missionary went. These words impacted this one woman greatly. Instead of being repulsed by these words, her heart was captured by them. Yes, her heart was captured by them. Her heart was moved to love these needy people. So Mary Slessor boarded a boat to Calabar to go as a missionary. And as she was boarding the boat, she was lamenting as the boat was being loaded. She noticed keg after keg, barrel after barrel of whiskey being loaded. And so she notated and said, Scotland is sending hundreds of barrels of whiskey to Africa and only one missionary. Mary Slessor spent 40 years in Calabar raising many sets of twins that would have been killed. Jacob's wedding day came, and the wedding night came. But the next morning, there in the marriage bed, was Leah. Laban had given his older daughter in marriage. Leah had to do what her father said. You will marry Jacob. Rachel had to obey also. Leah is going to marry Jacob. Jacob was furious, and that's to say the least. 7 years I worked, and this is what I get. But what could he do? Laban was in charge. He will work another 7 years for Rachel. Now, Jacob is married to two women, and each wife brought a servant, and the years were contentious. Jacob loved Rachel, and when the Lord saw Leah was not loved, the Lord opened Leah's womb. Reuben was born. Reuben means the Lord has seen my misery. A firstborn son. I gave you a son. Won't you love me, Jacob? Jacob loves Rachel. Leah gives birth to a second son, Simeon. The Lord has heard. Still, Leah is not loved. A third son is born, Levi, which means attached. I gave you three sons, Jacob. Will you attach yourself to me? Jacob loves Rachel. Surely Jacob will love me. Another son is born to Leah, and it is Judah. This time I will praise the Lord. In all this, Rachel becomes jealous, and she complains, and Jacob answers in anger, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? So Rachel gives his servant Bilhah to Jacob, and a son is born to Bilhah, and the son is named Dan. Another son is born to Bilhah, and the contrast between Rachel and Leah intensifies. The contest increases. Leah gives Jacob her servant Zilpah. A son is born. Then a son is born. Another son is born to Zilpah. I mean, the contentious household. These 7 years, 14 years, became many, many more. Jacob had to have Rachel. But did you pay attention to the names of the sons born? Did you hear those two names, those two most important names in Israel? They were both born to Leah, Levi and Judah. Levi, the tribe from whom the priesthood, the priests of God would come. Judah, from whom King David would come, and the Son of the living God would come. From Judah. Rachel would eventually have two boys. One is Joseph. His story we'll get to later. But Rachel would be buried along the way in the area of Bethlehem. Leah is buried next to Jacob in the tomb that Abraham purchased. And in that tomb is Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. Those are in the tomb. Love and the purposes of God. When love is real and love is self-giving, amazing things happen. That is the kind of love that God works through very powerfully. 7 years can become like days. Calabar can become a home for a Scottish woman. And you were redeemed from your sin by self-giving love from Almighty God. From the son of Leah came the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of Judah came your Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son to bring forgiveness of sin and eternal life. That love, by God's grace, penetrates and changes lives. It changes hearts. It takes you from the kingdom of darkness and places you in the kingdom of heaven. A little bit of the kingdom of heaven in you, a mustard seed like, will grow and grow. A little bit of the kingdom of heaven in you, like yeast, will work its way all the way through you. And you see the results that the kingdom of heaven in you has done is that you love the lost. You love the body of Christ, which is the church. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And as Jesus said, and the second command is just as great, love your neighbor as yourself. Just as the effect of yeast is seen in the dough, the effect of grace is seen in a changed life. 7 years. What can happen in 7 years? Let's see. I was going to do 7 years in the children's moment this morning. And let's see. I got an 8-year-old, soon to be 9. 7 years from now, 15, soon to be 16. Or my 14-year-old will be 21. I mean, 7 years from now. What can God do in and through us with the power of self-giving love in 7 years? 7 years. Love. Love for the next 7 years. And see what the power of God can do through us. Us who are a little bit of yeast on the north side of Springfield. I invite you to pour yourself into ministry and trust the Lord to work his bigger will through us. Jacob saw Rachel. The Lord chose Leah. Leave the results to the Lord. Leave it in the Lord's very capable hands. Simply love. Self-giving love for 7 years. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love the lost. The Lord does bring Jacob home. Jacob eventually does make it back to Bethel. But Jacob's home becomes that promised land. The Lord brought Jacob home. And by his grace, the Lord will do the same for you. For you are the beloved and redeemed people of the Lord God. Yes, you are the beloved redeemed. Now, out of the great love God has for you, and the great love you have for the living God, love the lost. And see what the Lord will do in 7 years. Amen. And amen.